So, a couple of weeks ago, I went to Montreal, and this story, I wasn't planning to go to teach or speak at the church, but I was going to Israel, and I bought my ticket from Montreal, and my trip was canceled because of the war, so I had my ticket to Montreal, and I went. When I came back, it was midnight, and I took a cab, took my taxi, my luggage, and there we go. I have half an hour with the taxi driver. And guess what? I preached the gospel to him. He didn't have a place to go. He couldn't go anywhere. So I'm sitting in the back, and I have my agenda. I have my agenda, and I start to talk to him. I say, how long have you been in Canada? 4 months. Where are you from? Pakistan. Oh, okay. Why did you come here? Well, I used to drive a car in Dubai and another country, I don't know. But no, I love Canada and I love Canadians, and I agree with him. Yes, I love Canada too. And we start the conversation. And then I ask him, do you believe in God? And he said, he told me, yes, yes, I believe in God. Oh, okay. You know, I'm Muslim. I believe in God. He is Allah and da, 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 da. And in the book, and he start preaching me. I say, okay, wait a minute. I'm going to preach you back. And he say, oh yeah, the Bible, yes. He said, it's the same. It's only one God, and just a little bit the difference. And I say, well, that just a little bit difference make a big difference. And so we start talking. He preach me, I preach him. It's like the Samaritan. When Jesus had the encounter with her, he start sharing with her. He asked her, can I have a drink? And she say, oh, are you a Jew? You know, like they both were in different realms. And Jesus always brought her from the earthly realm and the religious realm to the supernatural realm, the heavenly realm. So I'm with this guy, and then I ask him, what's your name? He say, Ali. Ah, okay. And he say, and yours? I say, Noli. Okay, you can have my number. You can text me anytime you want. I say, well, I'm not going to text him. But I say, no, are you married? And he say, no, I'm not married. How old are you? 47. I say, oh, you should have a wife. You are a wonderful man. Because he speak a lot. And he say, yes, yes, yes. You can have my number. I said, I'm not going. Anyways, so the conversation keep going, and I, you know, back and forth. I'm right almost at home, and I say, I have 5 minutes to preach the gospel to this guy. I'm not going to waste this opportunity. So I interrupt him. I say, Ali, I'm going to pray for you, okay? He say, yes, yes, pray for me. And I just start praying. And the presence of God fall so thick in that car. And I remember that I was praying Jeremiah first before you were born, when you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. And then Holy Spirit gave me Psalm 139 about being in the womb and seeing the eyes of the Father in the womb. So I start praying for him with these lines. he slowed down. We were 5 minutes from my house. I think it took like 15 because he was driving. He slowed down and praying, and the Holy Spirit started pouring out his love over him. And then I started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. John 3:16, because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So whoever believes in him will have eternal life. And he couldn't speak anymore. But the presence of God was so thick. So we go home, and he didn't park. He left the car in the middle of the street. On. He didn't turn off the car. He get off, and he was drunk. So he took my suitcase, and I was drunk too. Like, I took my suitcase. I get off the car, and I'm gonna grab my suitcase, and I hug him and kiss him. And then I say, wait a minute, what I'm doing? I don't know this guy. But I was so drunk of the Spirit, like the love of God touched us. And then I was grabbing my suitcase, and he said, no, I take it. The car was on in the middle of the street. I was going to tell him, you know, park your car or whatever. And he came with me, running my suitcase, and he was drunk, and he said, before I was born, he knew me. He got such a revelation, and I was drunk too, we were we came partying or something like that. So, anyways, I have to tell you something. Preaching the gospel is not only for that one. When you preach the gospel, you touch the glory of God. And I know Jody knows that. And many others that I know, Rowena is right there. I want to read with you John 4, because this point is very important to know. When Jesus went with the Samaritan, you all know the story of the Samaritan. There are some points, very important points here, that I have experienced, and that's why I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to read the whole, but I'm going to point out something. In John 4, it says, he had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noon time, because he needed water. He was thirst. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was really thirsty. So then they have this encounter back and forth. That's not my point. My point goes, when this woman went to the town to tell everyone about the encounter that she had with Jesus, then he was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. He was hungry. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are, I know, I'm lost. No. So, No, I need to go back. So the story goes on, and the women go to town, and Jesus was alone. And meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus replied, "No, I have a kind of food you know nothing about." That is the tender point when you preach the gospel. Yeah? You get fed by Heavenly Father. When I preach the gospel, I experience life, grace, love, like never before. I wouldn't touch the glory of God if I don't preach the gospel with this taxi driver. We both were in heavenly places at that moment. Not only he was touched by the love of God, but I was touched. I couldn't sleep that night. I came midnight. I was so tired. But the presence of God in my life was so beautiful. I couldn't leave. It lasts 3 days long. That's my food. That is what it feeds me. That's what I share the gospel. I don't have any agenda. Don't share the gospel. No, don't tell me that. I don't want to know anything about it. I just want to do it because my life depends on that food. I was saved because someone shared the gospel with me. I wouldn't be here. My children wouldn't have mom because I was going to commit suicide. Should I live for myself? You know why I did Papa Love? Because my father's heart beats for the lost. And that's his heart. His heart beats for that one that don't know him. In my experience, I feel the draw once he wants me to share with someone. Because it touched my heart first. And the living water that I have in me starts stirring up. And I start feeling the love. I start feeling the love for that person. It's the love that changed the people. When you are surrendered to him, unto that love, people feel that. Maybe you don't. They forget what you say. I know that Ali, this guy, was changed that day. And you are here because someone preached the gospel to you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. It made something in your heart. It transformed you. So, Jesus replied, "I have a kind of food you know nothing about." Do you know that kind of food? I feel my heart hungry to go to preach the gospel. I feel the hunger, my heart. And I asked him, Father, where can I go to preach the gospel today? Not that I'm crazy. I know. I don't care. You know, like, yes, people may reject you, but so far, so many people that I have shared, they never had told me no. Because it is what you bring with them. Jesus is the bread of life for some reason, and it has to do with this food that he is speaking about. I have a kind of food you know nothing about. And he says, Matthew 25, below, he says, I don't know you. Why you don't know us? Because I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me water. I was sick and you didn't came to heal me. So I saw this verse always like, okay, we need to bring food, yeah? You bring, those breads that you find in the supermarket to the poor. But he's not talking only about that. He's talking about feeding the hungry in the spirit. Giving water. You have a living water inside of you running now. So what are you doing with that water? Where is that water flowing to? It's supposed to take away the thirst of those who are thirsty. The other day I was in the gas station, and for some reason, you know, like, I don't know, the car didn't work, and so I had to go inside to pay. And this guy was there. I know that he put this guy there for me. And I came and he says, you need the lottery. You need the lottery. Three numbers tonight. Something like that. I said, no, I already won the lottery. And he looked at me like, do you? Yes, when I met Jesus, I won the lottery. So last week, I was with Alex and another friend of her mom. And so Alex told me, Mom, she came from Ireland. She went to do a retreat with a lady that see angels. And I said, really? I do see angels as well. So the point is, you can preach from whatever angle. It doesn't matter. So then the disciple says, did someone bring him food while we were gone? The disciples ask each other. Then Jesus explained, pay attention to this. This is so profound. I tell you, I don't have the full revelation. But I know that here there is more. It says, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. Wow, if Jesus, who was God, came to the earth and he said that, what do we say about that? Recently, people have asked me, how do you preach the gospel after the revelation of the love of the Father? And I say, I wouldn't change any jot at all who I am to change it. Even if you receive Jesus in a religious setting or whoever, I don't know your story. How do you came to know him? He used that to bring you back home. And that's why you are here, because you were brought back home. So my encouragement to you is that you get deep into this if you want. This is my heart. I'm just sharing my heart. It's not a burden. If you feel a burden, don't do it. Because 1 Corinthians 13, I'm going to read it. 1 Corinthians. So how do we preach the gospel? 13, it says, if I could speak all the language of the earth and angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. That's it. If you don't have love, don't preach the gospel, because it's not going to work. Your heart needs to touch the heart of that one that God has given you. That's simple. You were saved because of love. So, who do we go to preach the gospel? I'm going to give you an answer. Because, you know, this is important. To me, my spirit, no one taught me how to preach it. I haven't gone to any seminar. My teacher is the Holy Spirit. He knows everything about that person that you need to preach to. Do you need to go to pray for her or him because he's sick? That's the door. Each one of us and other people outside has doors where we need to go through and tell them. Maybe someone sick, maybe someone who lost the job, maybe it's someone who is struggling with depression, whatever. You just have to train your spiritual eyes to see the door. Sometimes it gets years. It's not instantaneously. Now that I went to Montreal, I heard one of Elena, you know, people who go to her church, she used to be Muslim from China. I don't know what time, whatever. And she told me her story years. The same people that tried to preach to her since the beginning, after maybe 10 years, never left her until she came to meet the Lord. I was like in shock. So, who do we go to preach the gospel? And this is amazing because, yeah, I know that Jesus in Matthew 28 sent everyone to preach the gospel, all the nations and this and that. But there is more that I found in John 17, the prayer of Jesus. This was Jesus' last prayer when he last prayed. And he said, so Father, the hour has come, glorify your son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone, He gives eternal life to each one of you have given him. These words, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. So my prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. And then, this word you have given me in this one chapter is mentioned 6 times. He wants to communicate something there. So, who are those people that God has given to you? Maybe you don't have to go to all the world and get crazy as me to share the good news. Maybe it's your coworker, your counselor, your doctor, whoever is asking, ask Holy Spirit, who has you given to me to preach the gospel? And how can I do it? Because he is the teacher. He knows how to evangelize. He's very good. So anyways, so these are my lines. I don't know where are you in this journey with the Father preaching the gospel to the lost. But my heart is to encourage you and to bring the life and not to be ashamed of the gospel. For me, I'm not ashamed of sharing the gospel. You know, if I have to give some impression and special to someone, for me, it's nothing else than this. It's so precious. Why I have to change it? No? So, it's not easy. I tell you, we have tension in the heart when we have to do it sometimes because there is resistance around us. You know, like you know that person but you don't know how to reveal. You say, where I go, here, there. You know, I have all these struggles as well when I share. But the reward is amazing. You feel that tension. Oh, my God, what am I going to say? I want to tell them. What about if they say this? And suddenly when you speak, the relief. You know that it's about the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asked Jesus, what can I do to enter the kingdom of God? And Nicodemus, I was looking for you. I saw you left, Gloria. So Nicodemus asked Jesus, what can I do to enter the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, unless you are born of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You need, unless you are born from the Spirit, the water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. I feel sometimes that I am like that midwife that get Holy Spirit to give birth a new life. When I was in that taxi, that's what I experienced, something gave birth here. And I was the midwife. Holy Spirit had a plan for this guy. Remember that. I'm very graphic. I understand things with natural pictures of real life, and that is a beautiful picture of, you know, like I'm a midwife for the Holy Spirit. So, talking about not easy, the enemy is not interested that you preach the gospel. He's going to try to stop. We need to be aware of that. And sometimes we feel shame of preaching the gospel because it doesn't look cool. And people now, they don't want to do anything with Christians. That's religion. Or not. That's what is going on right now. So we need to get to break off the spirit of shame. Because it's a spirit that make us feel less because we preach the gospel. Yeah? You say yes. So what I want to do before I finish is, I don't want to obligate anyone. Don't feel obligated to do this. And don't feel obligated to share the gospel. It's about you and God, nothing to do with obligation or anything. I just want to share the heart behind why I preach the gospel, so you can touch that life. And from the life, you can go. But I'm going to ask you, any of you feel shame to preach the gospel? Okay. Yes, doesn't look cool. Demons don't want you to look good. They want you to make you feel good if you don't preach the gospel. Okay, let's pray. Who wants to renounce? Do it if you want to. You don't have to. But if you feel, before we pray, I'm going to share Romans 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because this is very important. Romans, where is Romans? Romans. Have it somewhere. Romans left. Okay. That's why I don't bring this, because when I need it, it's gone. So better preach by myself. I have the book of life in my heart. Romans 10, yeah, I found it. It says, and the message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. So, and then he say, but I'm telling you, your neighbor haven't heard the gospel, your coworker haven't heard it, or maybe heard, but it wasn't the right timing. Maybe he needs to hear again. It says, but how can they call on him The Father yearned for people to call on him. Father. To come back to him. In Psalm 22, it says that in the last days, everyone will remember who they are. That is amazing. It's because we are like we have been asleep. And when we hear the gospel, we woke up like Lazarus. Jesus said that Lazarus wasn't dead. He was sleeping. So do we. Because we come from the Father. We need to be waking up to hear the good news. Yeah? So, and he says, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? Never heard. And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who brings the good news. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who brings the good news. Wow. In another part of the scripture says that we shine like a stars in the firmament. How much light do you have in you? Let it shine. I was in Cartagena this year, and I hung out with people from my childhood. They are all like me now. They were in the same parties. We smoked marijuana. We did every kind of things together. They still smoke marijuana. I don't, but I meet them every time I go to Colombia. And usually, I hang out with them. And they are ready to receive. This year, I went, and they are all in New Age. I was a New Ager, too, before I came to Christ. So they are all in New Agers. I'm sitting there, listening to their, preaching, because, believe me, everyone preach different news. Yes. Muslim preach their news, the New Age preach their good news, I preach my good news. So I'm sitting there with them. And so one of the ladies' son was going to commit suicide. So he was in a center where he needs to take care of that. And, they were doing something for him. So they are talking about this guy, Joy Dispenza. He's famous now because he knows about the brain and how do you open your third eye and they do meditations and this and that. I'm there with them, just listening. And then they are talking about the source, that energy that comes and this and that, and they want to go to the energy and they want to touch the energy. Okay, so I'm sitting there, I'm not talking. I'm waiting for a window to enter. And then I told them, well, I'm listening to you and this is very interesting because I have the similar experience as well. But what is the difference? I don't have to do anything about it because he is the one who bring me to heaven. And they look at me like, is that true? And I say, yes. And you know what? That energy that you are talking about, the big energy that everyone wants to go and touch and where everything comes. You know what energy means? That source? It means Abba. And Abba means Father. And they were, and I have, and I told them, I believe in Jesus because I need a Savior. And that energy that you believe in, for me, has a face and is a Father. I have seen him. And Jesus brought me to the Father because the difference is that they have personality and they came in the flesh and people saw them, touched them, and heard them. And I need that relationship with my Father and his son, who is my older brother. And they were, and this lady stand and come and hug me. And she said, thank you for telling me that beautiful. I translate what they believe into another reality. And the boy who wanted to commit suicide stand and he told me, I want that. I want that relationship with the Father. That's my stories. So, they still love me. Oh my God, Father, thank you, because this is your heart, Father. Nothing else. That you desire, Father, you long for those kids that doesn't know you yet. Father, and I know that some of us who are here are struggling with shame. They don't know what to do with that shame. So if anyone wants to renounce and ask first, Father, to forgive, forgive them, forgive you for feeling shame about the gospel. Just pray right there where you are. Father, this is real. You are here, Holy Spirit. These are your children. You have given to them so much. They are full of your love. They know you. But Father, some of them feel shame to share the gospel. Can you, Father, right now, pour out your heart of forgiveness so they can be forgiven and receive forgiveness and break any agreement that you have with the spirit of shame? This is basically Antichrist spirit. I pray in the name of Jesus, any spirit of shame of preaching the gospel has to leave them now. Don't tolerate it. If you have preached the gospel before, but you stop preaching it, this is a new beginning. This is a new beginning. If you heard to preach the gospel and you have that passion in your heart, you don't know why you stop doing it. There is more. The spirit of Elijah is right now pouring out on earth for the new revival. And we want to be part of that. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Jesus, you are the Redeemer. I urge you that you redeem, Father, everything that has been lost in this house, the heart of preaching the gospel, the heart for the lost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jen, because she has a heart for the lost. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You stay there. Father is doing something. Just receive the impartation of that amazing love that God has. Father is hungry for those who doesn't know him. He wants to hug them the same way you have been hugged and touch. Any spirit of rejection has to leave now, Jesus Christ. Some of you feel rejected when you preach the gospel. Remember that Jesus was rejected as well. Tora ebiambaka. Aisike makatu. Eiyaka makaka. Toki ambakatu. Hati kindu kuko. Abi kindu kukaka. Pakataka. Hoji akataka anda. Hande kiakarana. Roba papapa. Any spirit of deception that had come to you and you have opened your heart to receive it, renounce it. Renounce that spirit of deception. The gospel of Jesus hasn't changed. Is the kingdom of the Father. And Jesus says that he need to work because he was in the Father's business. You are called to be in the Father's business. This is the Father's business, to go and preach the gospel. And this is supposed to be a business office of the business of the Father. The kingdom of the Father is about multiplication. If anyone wants to pray right now, I give you the mic. You want to repent of something publicly? You can do it. I feel like someone has the anointing to speak now in behalf of the church. I don't know who he is. Someone needs to stand and repent on behalf of this house. So many people that feel the burden. You want to?
Yeah. Sitting here as Nolly was sharing, something Cam, I don't know if he's here today, had shared about an experience Bradford had in where he's at, about going into an imagined space in my mind and imagining a courtroom. And imagining myself or Jesus on my behalf as a lawyer in that courtroom and sitting on the stand accused is the spirit of shame, the spirit of doubt, and the spirit of unworthiness. And imagining in that courtroom, in my mind's eye, in my heart, in my imagination station, that spirit stands accused of drawing me into a false contract of agreement, that I am not worthy, and yeah, that I don't have what it takes to share that. So in front of everyone here, I publicly declare that as false, that spirit stands accused, and from here forward, it has no place in my heart or my mind or my soul.
Alex, beautiful. Beautiful. Someone else?
Well, I can't speak for this house, except for my family connections here, but I just really want that spirit of shame to go. I can describe to you, because I knew the Lord since a child, and my good friend that I walked home from high school with every day for more than a year, like probably 2 or 3 years, I was under conviction, like, you gotta tell her about Jesus. You gotta tell her about Jesus. And the 15 minutes would go, and I'd like, I didn't say anything. And so it's just like so painful, right? And it's just like something would just interfere, right? Like, oh, it's not the right thing, you know, or you, whatever. And so I just like, I mean, now, yeah, I just want to be able to freely share. And I think it's the love. And I thank you for pointing to that, because I just want God to put a deeper love in my heart that just will overcome. I don't care if I say something stupid or I'm rejected or you think I'm a nutcase or, you know, whatever. Wow. Yeah, so.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Break the agreement.
So do you receive me too? I just felt from Holy Spirit to pray a prayer of repentance on behalf of our house, where so many of us have been taken home to the Father, and we know Him, and we know His love, and it's so wonderful. And I think in that, perhaps I could be coming to the wrong, I'm not accusing everyone of this, but I think in what's coming to me in that, somehow we've got a little bit stuck in speaking for Jesus to bring His kids home to the Father. Because it's so easy to be comfortable. It's so easy to walk in fear, or it's so easy to almost twist. This is what was coming to me. I think it is a spirit of deception. To twist equating the speaking with religiosity. I don't want to be religious. And I think that is the deception that was coming to me. And I do, is that okay? Do you receive me to repent on behalf of us for that? Yeah, because I know I want it. I have been feeling trapped. I am one of those people who used to share openly and boldly. And it was that food. You felt it. You felt the pleasure of the Father. When you saw His love, and it's the love, we need the love. We do need the love. The love that compels us, because we're receiving the love, but His love, to really understand His heart more, that His heart is for us, all His kids, but for His kids that need to come home to Him. So if you're okay with me, I want to stand in the gap on behalf of all of us. This is me as well. This is for all of us, where we, Father, where Your love hasn't compelled us. where we have even, I just want to stand in the gap and repent, where we've equated speaking up for you, Jesus, being bold with religion. That's religious. I think that's a spirit of deception. And I just ask for forgiveness, Father, where we've operated in that deceptive spirit that has said that speaking is religious. And so I want to break that deceptive religious spirit, or that spirit of deception that's twisted us into thinking sharing is religious. And we just break it off of this ourselves in Jesus' name. And we're asking, Father, I know I need it for more of your love to not even come into our hearts to bring healing. Yes. To feel love, sons and daughters, but to love you so much that the love compels us to want to hear your heart, your heartbeat, as Nolly was talking, for those who aren't yet connected to you. Father, we're asking for your love to be poured into our hearts more and more, more and more and more. Not just for us, but in our response to you, that we would say, yes, yes. This is a natural outflow. We want to share about this. We want others to know this too. So we just pray, Father, you'd seal in everything that was done today, that this would be a real moment. This wouldn't just be another speaker, as amazing and gifted as Nolly is, but this would be a moment in this house where we said, yeah, we're willing to take a stand. We're willing to recognize things in our hearts that just need to be slightly postured differently. So, unless there's anybody else, I just pray all this in the name of Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit, and just seal this in our hearts, Father. We're excited to have you, if we're willing to ask, direct us to those that we're to share with. In Jesus' name. Is there anyone else? No. So we went longer, but I really think, you know, Nolly is so led of the Spirit. She shared what God gave her to share today. And thank you so much. A couple, like, housekeeping things. I'm just encourage you, don't just leave and mull on this. Let the Father do the work in your heart. Something today was started. I know personally I want him to, and I think we're a body, we have to encourage one another. We're not going to do this on our own. So talk to others about it. Like, be honest. And say, I need help. I need to be accountable to you, you know, because I want what Nolly, well, we're not maybe all gifted in the fivefold like Nolly is an evangelist, but he has called us all to share, right? So, oh, okay. Yeah, this is a small, feels like a little home group here. So you guys are comfortable if I bind down retaliation. That was just suggested. So now, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we bind down any retaliation over any one of us, our children, grandchildren, extended family, any spheres of influence, pets, we just say, any retaliation because of the work you did here this morning, Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, the real work in hearts. We just seal it in and we say, no retaliation. Go in peace when we're done. Have great days. That's my little, I think Brent has something else.
If you have ears to hear and eyes to see, this was phenomenal. I'm super glad we've recorded it because it's something to be heard. That hunger, that thirst, that food, right? That is the glory of his presence. When we're in it with him, that is missing in so many people's lives. Question that I'm always approached with from different people, has this journey into the heart of the Father wrecked Christianity or wrecked the church or wrecked whatever? And you're going, no. You don't understand how important it is to receive that love so that it comes out naturally. That shame that's related to sharing the gospel, I was standing at the back, honestly, Nolly, and I thought, have I ever been ashamed of the gospel? Like, and I was pondering it, and I heard him say to me, no, you've never been ashamed of the gospel, but you've been ashamed of yourself. And the reality is that you can go around believing you're less than, that you're not good enough. That's all shame means. And I'm not good enough to whatever, be a good Christian. I'm not good enough to do this or do that. And I did it with the best of them. We'd go on the streets on Friday nights and, you know, it would come out of our mouth and transformations would happen even if we got it wrong. God so died for you, he loved you is the favorite line. And they would just start crying. We'd walk away, oh, we goofed it up. But the glory that you described, the life that would happen, and very few people rejected it. Where I noticed was when we get on campus, the rejection was a belligerence of trying to tell someone, you're a sinner. You are broken and you need to come, that you're going to spend it, like try to scare them, so to speak, into. That is not the gospel. Tim Keller, who's passed away recently, who has had the biggest impact in Manhattan, in New York City, of any person in the history of, and he has a part called the Gospel Coalition. And he says, the gospel is five words. You are known and you are loved. That taxi driver all of a sudden experienced he's known from the beginning of time. And the love that he probably had never experienced in his life is in the Spirit of God, is love. And there it is happening in the taxi and the drunkenness of like what he does with that, you know. But I just want to encourage you. The shame is not necessarily shame of the gospel. And maybe if you don't even believe the gospel yet in this fullness, that's true. That's between you and him. You can work that. It's taken me many years. I took 3.5 years even to come to believe, because I couldn't understand invisible love. And then when it broke through, it just came out of me naturally. But then I realized, oh, I'm not like Rice Brooks, or I'm not like this or something. And it was the shame of self. And I do believe this is a word of, it's a word of the Lord. When Nolly was drawn into our presence and we would sit at Northland Mall, there was something about her that she naturally did this. And so when she shared today the understanding, if you try to do this and you don't have love for that person, that's when it does go off. If it's a duty, if it's a have to, this is what a Christian does. No, this is what love does. The more you get more of his, the more it translates. And I'm now on the campus 3 times a week. And this last Wednesday was incredible because I got to go to the prayer meeting that we helped start 20 some years ago. And I'm sitting there amongst some of the chapels and some of the young people that were young there. Now they're 12 years in, and they wanted to talk for an hour and a half afterwards. You know, where are you guys? You know, there's no other campus in America or in Canada where the chaplains and the people that have been engaged in that campus have been there this long. Kelly Johnson, 20 years, Paul, 20 years, like it just goes on. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, it's not very long before some of the children of some of you will be on that campus potentially or on that campus. And I was telling the story to them about the history, and the one student across the circle starts weeping. And he said, I'd never seen the fullness of God's plan. I just walk with students. I take them out and I walk and I tell them about Jesus. To think that there's this many more people, that God has had his heart for wherever it is in the world, a campus, a city, whichever. I think this is an important message. But it's not important to us as a corporate. It's important to us as an individual. And if you feel stuck, you feel like, what is it that you heard here that ignited you, but at the same time, like, I'm not sure if I could. That fear is always a byproduct of shame. It's always a byproduct of shame. So before we go, though, Glory, would you come up? And I know some of you want to just take off, but we'll just end it officially.